Here we go. Now we're going to start. Thanks for listening.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, my bad. I was supposed to do a little lower next time.
What? I think that was off.
Nah, it was supposed to be like the old school NFL film.
Yeah. It's like trumpets.
I don't know what the hell it is, man. Let's start the show. Let me shut up.
Thanks for listening to Bod Pod. Two-person Bod Pod. I think that's fair. That's kosher. We can do that, right?
The rest of the dudes bailed out on this, so sure. Why not?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is 1:39 a.m. Central. So, you know, to be fair. And plus, Dave is out with his wife, his lovely wife, enjoying his life, doing things. Here today, I'm with James Hollis. I'm with myself, Chris Axman. At Snotty Drippin, that's where you'll find James, and at Almighty Ball, and that's where you'll find me. You'll find Kyrie, probably not in Cleveland here soon.
That's crazy, man. So it's just funny. There's a song, It Was All Good Just a Week Ago.
Are you talking about that Kanye West song?
Nah, it's not Kanye, bro. And basically, like, you know, just a few weeks ago, this team was in the finals. The Cavs were in the finals, and sure, they took a whipping, and Bron said he needed time to regroup, figure out what was going on. He never really faced something like this. So, but you thought they would come back, and we knew they were trying to get Melo. The fact that Kyrie basically said, "Nah, I've had enough." This is probably you tell me if I'm wrong. This is the biggest thing that's happened so far in the NBA in the offseason. This is bigger than the Chris Paul trade.
Chris Paul thing, probably.
No, this is definitely bigger, I think.
The breakup of the Clippers?
Yes, because this is going to be the breakup of the Cavs, the better team that has actually been in the finals just now. This is definitely bigger to me.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, those are the two. I think there's not anything that you could argue for instead. You know what it reminds you of?
It reminds me of, our boy KD made a big show of the whole time. You know, I love one-star players. I want to be like Bird and blah, blah. You know, there's something about playing for the whole team, you know, one team for my whole career. So,
So it reminds me of, have you ever been dating a girl, you know, for a long time and you sort of start, you know, not really being into it and you start reconsidering it and you're thinking about breaking up with her, but it's not like when she's like, "Hey, I love you," you can say, "I think that I still love you." You know, there's no de-escalation there. It's like, whether or not you're fully into it, it's like, okay, I love you, you know, right? You have to commit to it, even if you're slowly inching towards this cliff where you fall off and you're like, okay, we're breaking up. So that's how it like blindsides you, because
see, it's a little different though, because I think with players, like, and this is, I hear what you're saying, I can see the parallel, but like in this case, it's like, I don't think anybody asked him, "Are you going to play in Cleveland for your whole career?" You know what I'm saying? I don't know the context, and maybe I should look it up before I even comment on it, but I'm pretty sure, you know, they're just having a conversation. He says those kind of things. But, I wouldn't have expected this, because my thinking was,
I'm not surprised, but continue.
You can tell me why you weren't surprised. I was just thinking, if LeBron does leave, well, Kyrie does have the reins in Cleveland. He was drafted by. It's going to be him and Kevin Love. He'll have the ball in his hands. I mean, then we'll see what he's made of. That's what I was figuring. But so why are you not surprised?
So there's 82 games in a regular season,
mm-hmm.
and there's 365 days in a year. So that's about one game every 5 days, and games last 2 hours. So for the other 96 hours of those 4 days, right, you're not actually on court playing basketball. The reason to stay is LeBron. And basketball reasons, if you're citing basketball reasons, then yeah, you're right. It's LeBron. You're going to contend for championships. You know, he's a great teammate. He's good to play with. You're going to win a lot of games every year. There's 98 other hours that you're off the court. And Cleveland blows, right? The organization isn't well run. His public image with the whole LeBron thing, Daddy LeBron, right, makes him seem like it's like Kyrie the kid. It would just be cooler to be off being like Mamba mentality and stuff, even though you're not going to win as many basketball games. You know what I mean?
I guess I never thought about it like that, man. I just, you know, he's been there his whole career. I figured he was, you know, he's a Cav. So I just never thought about that. That's wild to me.
But you get what I'm saying, man? Except for the 2 hours that you're on the court with LeBron, every other aspect of the situation is not very good.
I mean, it's all relative. You're a millionaire living in a city like Cleveland. Sure, it's not New York. It's not L.A., but you're a freaking millionaire. So the party goes everywhere with you, no matter what. You know what I mean? At the little yacht parties on the lake and all. So it's, I get it. It's not great, but let's not, like, Kyrie's probably not, he's probably having the time of his life still. You know?
Well, but it goes beyond that. Again, it's not a well-run organization. I think that, you know, if they had really nailed this offseason, Kyrie probably wouldn't have been pushed far enough to fall off the cliff.
I guess, man. It's just, you know, it's crazy to me. No, I get it, because they did. I think I've been wondering what they're doing this offseason this whole time. You know what I mean? Like, perimeter, more defense, better defense. You know, shore up the defense however you can. And they need more shooting, right? That's what they needed. And, of course, you know, Jose Calderon, Jeff Green. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they needed guys who could play against the Warriors in the finals, really.
And that, exactly, and they didn't get them. You know what I mean? So that's what's, it's like, what are you really trying to do? And so, you know, the owner, Dan Gilbert, they fired their cap strategist today. You know what I mean? It's just things just really went south really fast in Cleveland.
Yeah. You know, I have a whole theory about what I think is happening to the Cavaliers in a macro sense. It's a pretty great theory.
Oh, God.
It would take a lot of exposition. I don't want to just talk your ear off, but...
Is there any way you can just give it to me in, like, 45 seconds? This is the thing. You're a creative guy. Just condense this down to its bare essence. Don't give us a Warriors salad here.
I think LeBron is trying to do Dan Gilbert dirty and then buy the Cavs. In a decade.
And then buy the Cavs. I could, that's a good theory, and we've heard that before. He's trying to buy a team, whatever. I do think, of course, there's still resentment from the way everything went down. LeBron James is a businessman first, but, you know, personally, I know he probably wouldn't piss in Dan Gilbert's face if his eyebrows were on fire. And Dan Gilbert, I think, also has some resentment. Look, I'm going to tell you, let's be real about it. Dan Gilbert, we know...
is an asshole.
The way he lashed out at Bron before, there's definitely a racial undertone. All right. Right. So the fact that LeBron made him kind of crawl on his belly to get him back, you know, LeBron said, you know what? You get the cap space. I'm not taking a cent less than Max. You get the cap space and then we'll talk. Well, are you going to come? I'm not giving you any promises. Get the cap space and we'll talk. And then he made sure, you know, Love, he made things happen. That first pick, I don't give a damn. Bring Kevin Love in. Bring me some help. I wonder if this is now personal as far as from Dan Gilbert's side too, right? David Griffin, hey, you remember in January, Bron was just praising the hell out of David Griffin. I mean, yeah, Griffin, he was,
right.
You know, he's doing such a good job. And then, guess what? And, you know, maybe it's kind of a pissing match. You're right. I can see that being kind of a pissing match with LeBron and Dan Gilbert. And Dan Gilbert's not going to win, even though I guess he's a millionaire, so he's going to win regardless, you know? So,
The way that you profit off of a successful organization or something like a championship, the way that you profit off of LeBron blowing into town and making you a contender is when your luxury boxes are up for renewal, right? And those are like on 10-year contracts. When your advertising is up for renewal and those are on like 5 to 10-year contracts, it has to land in such a way that all of those contracts are renewed while LeBron is still there, right? And that hasn't happened yet. So that's why Dan Gilbert last year said, I lost $40 million. It's because, you know, the reason you go into the luxury tax, spend all this money and stuff, is because the Warriors, when they open this new arena, are going to just make up $1 billion in advertising and in luxury box sales, right?
The Warriors are printing money, so they could deal this kind of stuff.
Right, and the Cavs are making a little bit extra with regular season tickets, but that regular season tickets is like 2% of the entire income of the team, right? No, it's like nothing. It's nothing, man. If LeBron leaves at this perfect time, then Dan Gilbert spent all this money on making a championship team without getting that reward from LeBron being there and without actually reaping the later benefits of that investment. And basically, he spent all this money, expected a return, didn't get it because LeBron left, and the Cavs are like a steaming, fiery, flaming turd that's exploding, right?
Yeah.
Now Kyrie's leaving too. What are the Cavs going to be worth to advertisers? Who would want to advertise in the arena? Who wants their billboard? No one's going to go to the games. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you, they're going to be a bottom feeder. I mean, and then also the optics of the owner chasing up LeBron twice. You know what I mean? It's like that's I'm pretty sure the fan base is going to be like, you know what? Fuck this.
Well, right. Yeah. And now I think the fan base, I think basketball is just generally a little smarter than that hot takey era back when LeBron had the decision. And mm-hmm. everyone's sort of embarrassed about the way that that happens. Like, oh, I burned his jersey and said I would never like him. And he came back and I'm a fan. There's sort of some sheepishness there, right? Like, yeah, I can't do that again.
Well, no, nah, I think a lot of the diehards, they're still going to feel betrayed, right? That's what fanatic and some people, you know, there's going to be a good chunk of people who are going to burn his jersey. But I think a lot of people do kind of see.
Well, do you think they'll burn his jersey or do you think they'll burn a poster of Dan Gilbert?
That's why I would just say I think a lot of people, they kind of see the malfeasance of Dan Gilbert and they see now it's more public. So now it's on Gilbert. Why didn't you just keep David Griffin? You know, that's just crazy. It's mind-boggling to me that that Kyrie would be like, you know what, I'm out of here.
Well, so Dan Gilbert, the hero that brought a championship to Cleveland, is going to be walking down the street like Jimmy Dolan with fans being like, fuck you, Dan. Like, you suck. Sell the Cavs. You blow, right? And I think he's going to be losing money. He's going to be frustrated. Everyone's going to hate him in Cleveland. He's going to get chased back to Detroit. Maybe buy the Pistons and then sell the Cavs. Right. And LeBron's going to be there. And he's going to be like, yo, how about I put an ownership team together? Make the highest bid.
I don't know. I don't think about all that kind of shit usually, man. I'm here for the intrigue. I'm here for the biggest story. I'm here for the basketball.
That's pretty intriguing.
So, not really. I don't give a shit if he sells or not. I think it's kind of
you wouldn't be like, oh my God, this is the best thing that's ever happened. If Dan Gilbert sold the Cavs to LeBron.
I don't give a shit about their ownership at all. I don't care about any of that shit. I don't care about that.
I think that would be so satisfying.
It's interesting. Yeah, but I don't really fucking care. Yeah, so it's going to be, I mean, so here's what question I got to you. Does Kyrie Irving start next season in a Cavs jersey?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Because here's the thing, like, it's not like a Paul George situation. He got 2 years left on it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
I think it's more like a Kobe Bryant situation.
When he demanded
a trade in LA.
So he's not Kobe Bryant. He doesn't have that kind of pull. He doesn't have that kind of cachet, right? He's Kyrie. So they'll be like, all right, dude, you're under contract. I mean, I know what you think. If LeBron leaves and you're under contract, you don't play. That's on you. You're not going to get paid. We don't have to trade you.
Well, no. You know what I'm saying? What I mean is, you remember back in 2007, Kobe said, I want to get traded. Or maybe it was earlier than that.
No, it was 2006-ish. Yeah, 2007-ish. Yeah.
So, and then they went out and they got...
Before they got Powell, yeah.
Yeah, right. They went out and got Powell. You know, they... Did they draft Bynum?
Bynum was already drafted.
They got Lamar Odom.
That was the same summer when they didn't trade Bynum for Kidd and he was on the film talking about ship his ass out.
Right. Yeah. So they put together, you know, this team and everything was hunky dory again. And Kobe was the center of the Laker universe and it was fine. The Cavs, one way that they could approach this is basically doing what Kobe had the Lakers do to Shaq, you know?
You mean doing to LeBron?
Yeah. Because they decided to go with the younger star.
Yeah, I got you. So you think they should start looking at trading LeBron?
No, I don't. I don't know what they should do, but that's so one way of approaching it.
The problem with that is he's on the 1+1s all the time, right? So he's I guess he already opted in this year.
And he has a no trade clause, but you know.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
Okay, well, so there's nothing really, unless you just talk to LeBron and figure out where he wants to go. Yeah.
Or just talk to Kyrie and say, we're going to let LeBron walk. This will be your team. Is that going to make you happy? We can rebuild around you and see if that, I mean, if he wants to be the man.
But you're arguing against everything you just said.
What do you mean?
Being in Cleveland sucks. The team management sucks.
Well, right. I don't know what his motivations are. I'm just saying there's a lot of reasons for him to want to leave.
I just feel if it gets to the point where he's already went to management and they're already naming teams he wants to go to from sources, I don't know if they can walk that back with, all right, we'll get rid of LeBron and we'll let you be the man. It sounds like it's like we're past that point of negotiations. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Yeah, but I guess my point is that that's what people thought with Kobe.
Again, it's Kobe, right? Kobe Bryant, you know, he was the Lakers face and he was like Kobe Bryant. So they moved heaven and earth to get Kobe to stay. And, you know, that's different than Kyrie Irving. So I don't know. What would it take to get him to New York?
Probably Kristaps.
Fuck no.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, you're not being serious. Come on. 2 years left on this deal. He's a 25-point-per-game scorer. Doesn't play any defense. He's a really good microwave scorer. And there's no way they're giving up Kristaps for Kyrie. So let's think about a realistic.
I think that the Cavs are just going to say to the Knicks, let me know if you'll trade Kristaps, because otherwise there's 29 other teams I need to talk to.
Well, let's talk about it. And here's the thing, right? Because the teams aren't going to make the move. Even if he has 2 years left, a lot of teams aren't going to make the move unless they get a guarantee, a verbal, you know, all right, I'm happy to be here thing, right? Right? I think that makes sense. I think he's already made it clear. He said New York, Minnesota, what else did he say? He said a couple other teams. Did you see this at all?
The Heat, San Antonio.
He didn't say Heat. I think he said San Antonio, though. It was San Antonio.
He said the Heat.
Antonio. So San Antonio, New York, there's four too. I can't remember what it was. Yeah.
There's the Heat, San Antonio, Minnesota, New York.
It wasn't the Heat, was it?
Dude, nah. Yeah, he did. He said Miami.
Nah. That'd be hilarious.
If he went to Miami?
Yeah.
It'd be hilarious if he went to Miami in a trade that involved Deion Waiters.
I keep hearing people saying how he'd be a great fit in Boston. And the deal people, like your boy Kevin Farragut, just said, he said Jaylen Brown, Isaiah Thomas, and the 2018 pick for Kyrie Irving.
Sure.
What the fuck? No.
I don't know, man.
Are you saying from Boston's point of view, that's a good deal?
Say that deal again.
It's Isaiah Thomas, Jaylen Brown, and like the 18 pick or the Lakers pick.
Well, so Isaiah Thomas only has one more year, and I think, you know, he's older, and that contract is going to be a tough pill to swallow.
So why are you, I guess, so I, if even if Cleveland's going to take him, let him go, why are you giving up Jaylen Brown and an 18 pick?
Because Kyrie's really good.
He's not that good. He's not that good. If they wouldn't give up the 18 pick for Jimmy Butler, they damn bad sure have not giving it up for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on... I think that Boston probably feels the way that you do. I think that I probably feel the way that you do. But there are people who feel like Kyrie is the best point guard in the NBA.
No one who has any kind of brains thinks that. That's the thing. And so it's like there's no... If look, the deal for Jimmy Butler was allegedly, well, they wouldn't give up. They wouldn't give up Brown and the 18 pick and like Crowder. Why the hell would they? And I get if Isaiah is going to, he's coming up. I think they're going to let Isaiah walk.
What I've heard, the whispers that I've heard suggest that they're going to say 4 years, $80 million, take it or leave it, leave if you don't want it.
It's funny because I heard the same thing and you probably heard it from somebody I told that to.
I think we probably both heard that because it's true. I mean, I think they really like Marcus Smart, I guess.
That's what I heard. I heard if you see Marcus Smart get a real, like a reasonable deal, if you get Marcus Smart gets a deal, then he's either out of there or they're going to offer him that 480. You know what I'm saying? So, which I'm, even that, it's kind of, that's not bad, right? Because again,
I think that's almost an asset.
No, it is. That is because if he takes that, that's cool, but from the way he's talking, you know, all he does is yammer around about the Brinks truck. I mean, $80 million fit in the Brinks truck, but still.
I get what you're saying, but if he's going to take the most money possible, that might be from the Celtics. Might be.
Yeah,
Because of how cash-strapped the league is. But Kyrie, I think that I would consider that trade. I'm not really sure whether I would do it or not, though. The Kyrie my, right, so for think about I, this. IT
hey,
thing.
Hey, next season... oh no, it doesn't matter. I almost had to forget about Fultz. I was thinking, what if Philly just turns and throws that big deal at Kyrie? But
well, no. Fultz is 6'6", you know, like Fultz can play.
He's 6'4". Yeah, he could play off guard, but right. I don't think you want those two in the backcourt.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
I don't think... So, one thing I do feel like is a thing sort of floating around here is that Kyrie is not a particularly great fit with any team, you know?
Yeah, I saw our boy Matt Moore talking about this, and it's kind of true. And it's the same thing with Isaiah. Like, Isaiah's in a great spot, right? He's worth more to the Celtics, right? Because, I mean, it's a good fit.
Right.
They do everything else around him, let him score. You go somewhere else. Let's think about it. Kyrie been upgraded in, like, Charlotte, right? But is it worth it? Because they got what's his name on a great deal?
Kemba.
Yeah. Right. He's in a great deal. So it's a lot like the Derrick Rose conundrum right now. These guys they're better than Rose. So I'm not saying Kyrie's Derrick Rose. But where do you want this volume shooting, low assist rate?
Utah Jazz.
No defense playing kind of point guard. And he doesn't even really fit the Jazz style. He would work there, but we know that, like,
a lot of half-court possessions.
No. The Jazz have a certain ethos. You know what I'm saying? Like, George Hill was a Jazz guy. He was a Jazz guy. You could there's Jazz guys, and Kyrie's just not a Jazz guy. So while it would work, and he'd help there.
On the court, it really makes some sense, but I agree. Like,
it's not a clean fit.
Right, yeah.
Now, hey, here's a good one, and this is where how he kind of screwed the Cavs and screwed himself, I guess. Did this a few weeks ago, and somehow the Clippers probably try to get involved and get him over there.
Right? Or
the Rockets, even. And maybe they do a three-team, and they get Kyrie to Clipperland. Chris Paul goes to those assets to Cleveland. All that shit they sent, or whatever, I don't know.
Dude, I think Kyrie, actually, this is funny. I think Kyrie and D'Antoni's offense would probably work with that. Like, just huck up threes.
I think he'd be a better fit than actually Chris Paul.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I just do think his game would be adaptable.
I think he'd run and gun, and he would score 30 a night. Or he'd score close to 30 a night. So the defense would be worse because Chris Paul's a better defender. But I think offensively, he's definitely a better fit, I think, offensively.
Yeah, I guess I agree in terms of fit. So let's see. You could start to think of him in a team that doesn't have an identity. Of course, there's the Spurs, but you run into the same thing with the Jazz ethos.
See, now the only difference is, like, Patty Mills is basically a poor man's kind of Kyrie. He just catches and shoots, right? He wants to catch and shoot and do his little drives. Kyrie's almost like an inverse Tony Parker. While Tony Parker got to the rim a lot and didn't shoot threes, Kyrie can actually shoot threes, and he can still get to the rim. So I think he would actually kind of fit there.
Yeah.
I think Greg Popovich would be a good place with Kyrie. And we know that our boy Kawhi doesn't really give a shit about
who's... Yeah, I think Kyrie would be a great on-court fit. But culturally, I think you run into the same issues that you run into with the Jazz fit.
I think... Here's my thing with that, though. The Spurs have been so adaptable. They went from junk, kind of slow it down, dual big man. They opened up then they got to the finals 2007, playing a different way.
No,
then wide open offense.
I just mean their organizational personality, like the quiet, small town, you know, not big, flashy.
Steven Jackson fit. They love Steven Jackson there.
He wasn't like a superstar.
I think that their culture is so strong, they would absorb a guy like Kyrie, and he could still be himself. Because think about it, Kyrie's not really some outspoken kind of wild guy. He has fun and stuff, does it Uncle Drew, but he's not like some a bad boy in the NBA. I think he'd be fine there.
Oh yeah. Well, just so you know, like, I'm sort of playing devil's advocate. I think the Spurs.
I can't stand devil's advocates. Devil don't need no advocate. He's a fucking devil. Stop doing that.
I think the Spurs would be a great fit. What do you think about Minnesota?
I was thinking the same. See, again, this is why would you, if they just had Rubio as an asset, I think it'd be different.
He's bad.
I know. I don't like Rubio.
Yeah.
I think he's not. He wouldn't fit. As you're right. It's not even a good trade. I guess what are they going to send Jeff Teague back and whatever?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. So Jeff Teague's a new signing. So you would have to wait until like February or something until you could trade him if you're the Timberwolves. So, yeah, it could be something around Jeff Teague and Wiggins.
See, and that seems almost like an overpay again. Wiggins. So now you got Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, and Kat playing for Thibodeau. I don't know, man. I don't know. That sounds like a bizarro Bulls with Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, and Noah.
It does. Still good. Yeah, that's interesting.
So, and like you said, man, it's just really hard to. It's just really hard to fit.
Yeah,
it's really hard for Kyrie to fit. I heard the Suns can put together a nice pack of young players. I mean, if LeBron's already gone and Kyrie wants to go, why not get some young players?
Well, if Kyrie wants to be the man and have an organization build around him, the Suns are in that position because they don't have an identity. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. They don't really have a culture. They're like a clean slate, and they can get pieces that make sense around Kyrie rather than adapt Kyrie into something. You know what I mean?
Who would they give up? What's the Suns have to do?
Well, I mean, Eric Bledsoe, of course.
Okay. It can't be. And see, this is my thing. I can't see being too much more there. Because Bledsoe was, in his own way, I know he's not as good as Curry, but Bledsoe is really fucking good.
Well, okay. How about Bledsoe, TJ Warren, and a future first? Keeping in mind that they're getting Kyrie and they're probably going to get better. Maybe like a 2019 or 2020 first. You're basically Josh Jackson, Devin cool Booker, Kyrie.
No, I'd just say just, all right, Bledsoe and Warren and a I guess. Put some protections on that first, and that's okay.
Sure. Yeah. Top three protected.
Whatever. Top eight. Whatever. Just put some protections on it.
And then you could just sort of be like, well, we have these two power forwards that are young, talented. Maybe a team would like them, but we need a rim protector. Let's try to make a move for someone like DeAndre Jordan. Because I think if you're going to have Kyrie, probably the first thing you want to do is...
What do they give up for DeAndre Jordan?
Because
here's the thing. Clippers think they're competitive. Clippers are trying to be competitive.
And no. I just mean someone like him, you know?
There's not many, like... Who else? It's Clint Capella. There's DeAndre Jordan. There's Hassan Dwayne Dedman.
You know?
See, Miami's not doing... Like, what you have to give up a lot to get Hassan Whiteside out of Miami.
Well, I mean, maybe Miami would rebuild. What if you gave up, Yeah, I don't think so either.
Oh, yeah, they love that. They love that
Marc Gasol.
Who?
Marc Gasol. He's old.
Memphis is kind of rebuilding. No, but he wouldn't really fit, but he's a definite upgrade. I mean, he's a slow kind of plodding center, and even though he can shoot threes, I don't know. The Suns are really, they're built to run, right? They're built to play fast. So, I don't know. Yeah, man, it's tough. It's, and again, he has no leverage, right? 2 years left in that deal, so.
Who? Kyrie?
Kyrie, yeah, oh, yeah. He has no real leverage. I mean, sure, he can make a stink or whatever, like he already has, but I just, so begin the season, are the Cavs basically going to be intact?
Yeah, I think they probably will. There's no urgency for them to trade. A lot of the trades they might want are going to be with guys who were just signed as free agents, like the Minnesota trade we talked about with Teague.
I hate that Teague deal.
I'm just brainstorming.
No, I know. That was a quick aside. That was a quick aside. I hate that fucking Teague. You know? Did you know why George Hill didn't go there? Did we talk about this?
To Minnesota?
Yeah.
No, I actually don't know why.
I guess this was on the timeline, so it's not like a secret, and you know I could find the quotes, whatever. But a dude said he looked into it. George Hill kind of looked into it, or they reached out to him, whatever. And he just like just from the way Tibbs does things, his rotations and the practices and stuff, Hill was like, I don't want to deal with that at this point in my career.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like he,
which is insane to me that that's got to be a problem, right? That's got to be a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Where free agents look at your team and say, you know what? You're a good fit and there's all this talent there. I'm not coming there because of the way your coach runs shit.
There's five centers on the Timberwolves right now, and it's 2017. I mean,
I'm not in love with the Timberwolves.
I love their roster, you know?
I love the top of their roster. I'm not one of those people who's Wiggins. I love Jimmy Butler. I love Karl Anthony Towns. Then I don't like Jeff Teague. I think he's a better fit than maybe Rubio, but he's still not a good fit, right? Because you just missed out on a guy like George Hill because you're a coach. I mean, Gorgui Dieng is whatever. He's all right.
I don't like Gorgui Dieng.
I like him. I mean, you know what this reminds me of? What team were we talking about? Where people could say he's fine.
Could maybe make a move for someone like Miles Turner, someone like Drummond, right? Maybe.
No, not Drummond.
Kyrie Drummond. That's funny. It's a funny idea.
Kyrie. That's just a weird pairing. Yeah, I like. You know what? Is Drummond going to ever be good?
if he can't shoot better than 35% from the free throw line, no.
I'm not even going to say the free throw line, dude. It's just the fact that, like, he just hasn't – he seems like he's plateaued since, like, year two. He's getting – like, the numbers are getting better.
Look, he would be a really good player right now if he
– if he could shoot 60% from the free throw line.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just weird.
And if his coach wouldn't make him take any shots from outside of 6 feet, because he shoots, like, 30% from outside of 6 feet, outside of, like, 3 feet.
What would it take to get Kyrie to Miami?
Well, I've thought about maybe, like, Goran Dragic – and James Johnson or something. Goran Dragic.
Listen to the disparity of these deals from what you were saying. Like, it's such a huge disparity with these deals.
Wait, so for which team?
Like, well, you said at first Isaiah, Jaylen Brown, and like freaking an 18 pick versus Goran Dragic and James Johnson. Like, how are you coming up with these trades?
Goran Dragic and James Johnson are good.
Yes, they are good. But you just said, dude, the 2018 pick is going to be valuable as shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, the Celtics are in a weird place because people can ask for more because the Celtics have more.
Thank you for recognizing that, because everyone was killing Ainge also. You can't, just because I have these picks, I'm not going to give them to you and other players too. You know what I'm saying? So that's another side. So you think Dragic and James Johnson are good enough to get?
Maybe throw in Justice Winslow or something.
Yeah, and I think it would take more than that, man, because I don't know. And I'm not even high on Kyrie, but yeah, James Johnson and Goran Dragic doesn't seem like a lot.
Well, and I think Miami's a good fit in the same way that the Suns are, in that they don't have an identity. And they do have Hassan Whiteside, who is, in theory, a type of guy who I think would fit well next to Kyrie.
I think they're kind of like the poor man's Spurs, where their identity is that they do play hard every night. They kind of maximize whatever's in there. And as far as, like, when I say, like, the Spurs, their culture is so deeply ingrained, it becomes part of the roster. You see what I'm saying?
I get you. They just don't have any superstars, and that's what
it is. Yes. Yeah, I get it. Okay. So when you say identity, but yes, they do need a focal point.
Right, yeah.
That's
a better way of putting it. Well, does he maybe make sense in an offense as the go-to guy who Jokic passes to?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's another one. Denver. I talked about that, what do you think about Denver? I think that's a good one, because you already got Paul Millsap, you got Jokic, and they got a lot of young pieces. Fucking send some shit out, get Kyrie in it.
If Adam was here, he would be just so upset. Like,
I know. You know what's funny? Hey, Denver guys love their fucking pieces to fucking death.
Well, it's not even that. I just think they have this Chris Ball movement and all this stuff. The thing is, though, I think that he thinks that one guy like Kyrie breaks the system. But, I mean, in reality, I think it's good to have a release valve for the last...
Again, look at Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas, right?
Yeah, what about him?
I mean, that's the Celtics move that damn ball, but guess what? When it comes down to it, they can give Isaiah the ball, let him do his thing.
Right, right. And that's how you utilize low efficiency players effectively, you know?
They're not low efficiency. That's what's weird. They're not low efficiency.
It's how you utilize mid-range assassins, I suppose, right?
Is Kyrie a mid-range assassin? I'm really asking, because I know he gets to the rim and finishes really well. He shot the three at a really good rate this year. I think did he hit above 40%?
Okay, it's how you utilize one-on-one scores.
In the ISO scores, okay.
Right, yeah. That's probably the best way of doing it, too, because, you know, the idea behind 7 seconds or less is that, you know, your most effective shot is probably going to be found in the first 7 seconds of a possession,
before
right?
the defense is set, against right, the scramble yeah. defense, yada, yada, yada.
And as a possession goes on, the chances of you finding a good shot gets lower and lower until, obviously, you've got 2 seconds left on the shot clock, and if it's in Carlos Boozer's hands and he's at the three-point line, your chances of getting a good shot are basically nil, right? So the way that Kyrie is effective is that, yeah, he might be less efficient than a slam dunk from DeAndre Jordan, but if there's 5 seconds left and you can't create anything, he can always create a mid-range jump shot, you know?
For sure. Yeah. Now, yeah, I mean, if you're in a good offense, though, you shouldn't have that many of those situations where that's like a thing. But
in the playoffs, there are a lot of those situations, though.
So what do you think his true shooting percentage was, Kyrie? Just off the top of your head.
58.
You're looking at it right now.
No, I'm not.
No, you son of a bitch. He shot 58 on the nose, 50% true shooting percentage. What do you think his 3-point percentage was last year?
39.
40%. He shot 40.1. Damn, he shot six threes a night. That's not bad at all.
Kyrie's good.
You know what? He's good. He should have been shooting 8 a night.
Sure.
That's where we are with the NBA right now, right? I mean, if you can shoot threes well, you got to get them up. And I guess maybe I guess it was spread out. You know, Cleveland shot a lot of threes last year, right?
They shot more threes than anyone else in the league.
Oh, okay. So, all right. I mean, it'd be cool if he was shooting more, but whatever. They're fine.
Maybe he fits on the Lakers. But if he wants to be the guy going to a team that has a hard on about Lonzo, is probably not the move.
Yeah, it's not the move.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't see it. I mean, this is it's a situation that I don't see. Whoever, if they can get out of this jam, if the Cleveland management get them out of this jam somehow, either unscathed with, you know, healthy amount of assets for LeBron and or Kyrie, then they deserve executive of the year, because it looks like almost an untenable
situation. Who would win, right, though? Now. There's no general manager.
I know. It's great, right? They just put in front of a blank chair and just have Cleveland in front. But you know what I'm saying? It's like this seems almost like they got themselves into a corner that they're going to need, you know, the hand of God to come down and interfere to make this right.
I just think the Cavs are about to hit the fan. I think it's all over.
I don't see. I wanted to say, is it Deus Ex Machina?
Yeah,
that's what it looks like. And God help me, I'm a Celtics fan. I'm gonna make fun of everybody, and cheer about it. But it's fascinating that they just went from, they won a championship like 48 months ago, and they got to the finals like, you know, just a few months ago. Oh, I'm sorry, not even 48 months ago. They won a championship like, you know, 26 months ago.
Right.
And here we are now, they're on the brink of just being totally exploded.
Well, I mean, even while they were succeeding, even during the season that they won the championship, there's always sort of like an air of dysfunction around the Cavaliers. I think that, you know, if there's like the fountainhead, the brick, everything else sort of rests in terms of stability for the Cavs right now is LeBron. It would all come toppling down, I think, if LeBron was gone, you know?
Yeah, well, the problem is that we've been hearing the rumbles about him to L.A. and all this for months now. So, like, he's the foundation, he's the stability, but he hasn't been very stable himself. We saw him all year. He was pouting all year, and he rolls his eyes, and the body language is bad. And that's cool, because that's just how he is.
I don't think you could say that about LeBron. I mean, LeBron's...
No, he did it, and it's fine, because he's been doing it for years, though. He's been doing it since he got back to Cleveland.
I don't think that means he's unstable, you know? I think that's a little...
Well, no, my point is, like, that's who he is, like, in Cleveland, right? So part of his stability is he will play the grumpy kind of uncle. That's part of him. So that's fine. That's not like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just, it is who he is. But yeah.
Well, I don't know. I wonder if he was in a different situation, if he would be more like he was in Miami.
I think he would be, because it's like, I think a lot of times we try to transfer it. Well, he got to Cleveland and we just wanted to transfer it over and said, okay, instead of Dwayne Wade, he has a younger guy, Kyrie. Instead of Kevin Love, he has a different guy, Kevin Love. I mean, instead of Chris Bosh, you had a different guy, Kevin Love. But there's so much about personality, and like him and Wade and Bosh, they planned that. They said, hey, we're friends, right. Let's do this together. This is different. This is like, all right, well, I need to get Kevin Love. That's good. I'm coming back to Kyrie because he's already there. That's fine, and that'll work. It's a lot different, right? It's just not the same. You know, and then we have Pat Riley, kind of like the ringleader over there in Miami. And
right. He doesn't mess around. The big thing is that Cleveland doesn't have a Pat Riley and they don't have a Spoelstra. They definitely, when it wasn't Tyronn Lue, they didn't have a Spoelstra, you know?
Do you think Tyronn Lue's good enough coach to even if they all stay, keep things together?
I don't think he's good enough to keep a broken franchise together. I think he's a good coach. I just don't think he's a Spoelstra caliber, you know?
I think no matter what, even if he was a good coach, the fact that they can't beat the Golden State Warriors is enough to kind of make this whole thing fall down. And somebody else brought up a really good point. No matter what, this is year four of the experiment, right? Miami fell apart in year four. But it seems like the shelf life of a team with LeBron is about, it's other than his initial team, obviously, when he was with Cleveland forever. You know, was it 6-7 years at first? Other than that, you know, maybe his leadership style, his voice grows stale about year four and things kind of unravel.
What I think it is that he sort of pushes the front office to make win now moves, and win now moves mean that you lose later.
Yeah. Yeah, because he did. Miami was back to that same kind of corner where there was no real path to new talent. Didn't have any like real youth coming down the pipeline. I mean, this is the price of dealing with LeBron James. You're going to spend now.
You're going to do it every time, you know.
Yeah, and so here's my question though: the theory of diminishing returns.
Sure.
Right. Sure. When you're thirsty, one glass of lemonade is great, you know. And then, are you going to spend the same amount, you know, per glass for 10 glasses? Because after a little while, it's not worth it to you. At what age does LeBron James hit that when you say, all right, 2 years, 3 years ago, you trade on any player in the league for LeBron James, right? Basically, when he was 27, 28, 29, 28, let's say. Now, what players are you not trading for LeBron James? Because there have to be players that you say, you know what, I'd rather have 7 years of this guy. Right? There has to be players like that.
Yeah, I mean, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Take the Warriors out of it. I'm saying, like, would you...
Karl-Anthony Towns, probably.
If you were Minnesota, I mean, if you were Milwaukee, are you trading Giannis straight up for LeBron James?
No.
Right? Would you trade Kristaps for LeBron James?
Yeah, God. I mean, in a vacuum, if I was...
Yeah, just, no, I'm not in a vacuum. That's what I'm saying. If you're the GM...
if I'm the Knicks?
Yeah.
No.
You see what I'm saying? But when LeBron James was 28, you're not even thinking about it, right?
No.
Right? So that's my...
I don't really know. I don't really know what age. I mean, I think probably right now, sell your farm for LeBron if you feel like you can put a winner together and be good for 4 years.
Do you think LeBron James... No, you think LeBron James has four more... Like this year, the way he played, you think he has four more years of this?
If the question is, how many more years does he have being a top 10 NBA player?
I mean, top 10, top 5. How many years do you think he had left of being top 5?
More than two. Yeah, probably. How old is he right now? 31?
He's shit. LeBron's almost 32, 33, bro.
Yeah, probably three or four years.
I think
probably.
32. Let's see.
I think probably 3 or 4 years.
I don't know, bro. LeBron James.
LeBron is an MJ caliber talent, and that's when MJ stopped being.
Hey, LeBron turns 33 this year.
Three or four years.
33 in December. LeBron James already has. Don't forget. I mean, you're not gonna forget this. Anybody listening? He has way more mileage at this stage of his career than MJ did.
And he's not showing any cracks.
He's not showing any. Well, he started having a little back issues a couple years ago. He's laying the sideline. I mean, these are little tiny minuscule cracks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess he's showing like some, but I mean,
we are. He is little things like we see. I've never seen him miss as many dunks as he missed this year, and it sounds silly, but he missed a lot of dunks this year.
He was very obviously. I mean, think about how amazing he was in the playoffs. Like he was very palpably the first or second best player in the NBA.
Next year,
I think he'll be the second or third. The year after, he'll probably be the fourth or fifth. And then the year after that, there's probably going to be a point at which it drops off. It's probably going to be a steady decline until it just falls off.
There's no probably. This is he's a human being, no matter what we want to say.
Kareem, and you can sort of glide out. But I think that he probably declines just a little bit.
The way he plays, he can't be like Kareem. Because Kareem basically turned into a jump hook maven. And he still scored great around the rim.
That's what I'm saying. Kareem sort of slid out. Kareem is the most graceful that you can age. And then Derrick Rose is like the least graceful of like you get injured and you just fall off a cliff until you're not even worth the minimum. I'm saying LeBron will probably be up to the point that he's 36, 37. He'll just decline a little bit. And then he might fall off a cliff somewhere once he's pushing 38. Maybe it'll be when he's 40. Maybe it'll be 38. Maybe it'll be 36, but I don't know.
So my point is like, so Philly, did Philly send, somebody did this trade. Did they send Ben Simmons and like Robert Covington and like another pick for LeBron James?
No.
Right? And the dude was like, that's stupid. Why? Of course you trade for the... why are you going to mortgage your future? This is Ben Simmons hasn't played a meaningful, hasn't played a game yet.
If you want to win now, if I wanted to win a championship over the next 4 years and I was willing to sell my soul to do that, then there's not a lot of players that I wouldn't move for LeBron James. But if you're just not in a position to be able to do that, like, you know, the Celtics, there's no one you don't trade for LeBron.
No, people keep saying that. That's when people keep saying, oh, they got the assets. No, I wouldn't want them to do that. I get that. I think logically it makes sense. I still wouldn't want them to do that because it.
Well, but they have the assets to go all in
so
and win
what?
A championship.
What are you going to get LeBron James, go to the finals, and then what? I mean, I don't want that. I would rather them do what they're doing right now and build their team. And then guess what? In 4 years, the Boston Celtics are set up to be the best team in the NBA.
Look, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that if the Celtics went all in, it would work in a way that if the Pelicans got LeBron, they'd be like, okay, now what? You know?
It would work better. It doesn't mean it'd be, maybe work best. And
right. Sure. Yeah, I agree. You know?
Danny Ainge definitely, I mean, we know he probably has to be thinking about it. I hope he wouldn't do it. Look, so what would they have? All right, let's play the game. What does Celtics have to give up?
Well, I mean, I don't think.
Just play it. You're the GM. You're Ainge. Make the offer.
God. See, I don't know. I would do what Danny Ainge is doing. I would hold out to be good in 3 or 4 years.
That's not what I'm asking you to do.
But if ownership came to me and I'm Danny Ainge and ownership said, look.
You trade right now for LeBron James.
Yeah, I want you to win a championship right now. Shit, I would trade Gordon Hayward, Isaiah Thomas, and Al Horford. Fuck.
But if you do that, now LeBron James, Shami Ojeleye, and
you have LeBron James and assets, and you sell all the assets to win now.
Yeah, you're not going to win now.
I wouldn't do that, you know?
Yeah, so. Yeah, man, I think people get so enamored by, I don't know. I get it. Bron is great, man. He is. I'm not taking anything from him. But, like, there has to be a point of, you have to be realistic and say, you remember when Ainge tried to give up 6 picks for damn Justin?
Right, yeah.
He said that was ridiculous, and obviously I'm glad it didn't happen.
There's
right?
only 10 or 12 teams in the NBA that are realistically set up to go all in. You have to have assets. You have to be sort of peaking, you know, in a way. You have to be expecting that your draft assets aren't going to be good because you're too good right now. And there's like 10 or 12 teams that can justify going all in for a guy like LeBron. And the other ones are either rebuilding, asset poor, like the Pelicans aren't going to be good in the future, but they also aren't good now. So going and getting LeBron James doesn't make sense, right?
Well, it does. You know, I think for them, like, so what would they have to give up?
Anthony Davis?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, nothing the Pelicans can do makes sense, but yeah.
Yeah, they're stuck.
All right, man. This is a good pod.
Are you done with me? Is that it?
I think so. It's been an hour.
Oh. I haven't said fuck you in a while, so I kind of want to say.
I'm pretty sure you have.
I don't think I have.
Well, two-man bod pod. Me and James Hollis talking about Kyrie destinations, also moving LeBron. That's it.
How do you think it went? Did you like the two-man pod?
Yeah, this was fun. I thought that went really well.
Yeah, we didn't have Adam's fucking whiny ass. Yeah, Adam, hope you listen to this. And we have Dave's fucking arrogant ass.
Fucking Dave.
Arrogant son of a bitch. Right. I love you guys, man. Hey, Adam and Dave. Miss you guys.
Yeah. We'll see you next time. Next time the whole team will be back together. We do need to get the team back together. The Bod Whatever. Pod. The Bod Pod crew. But for now, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed it. Good night.